You're listening to the 40 Thrive Podcast, the show created for women 40 and beyond, ready to shake things up. And now, your host, Jackie McDougall.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of 40 Thrive. Question for you, have you joined our free and private Facebook group yet? Come on over and say hello. It's all about support, lifting each other up, and just really celebrating and commiserating this life over 40. There's a link to join in the show notes at 40thrive.com/episode78, or you can simply go to Facebook and do a search for 40 Thrive and the group will pop up. I'd love to see you there. On today's episode, I'm talking with Jennifer Loudon. She's a personal growth pioneer who helped launch the concept of self-care with her first bestseller, The Woman's Comfort Book. Since then, she's written 6 additional books on well-being and whole living, with close to 1 million copies of her books in print in 9 languages. Her newest book is called Why Bother? Discover the Desire for What's Next. Jennifer has also spoken around the world and has written a magazine column for Martha Stewart Magazine. She's been quoted in 2, count them, 2 of Brené Brown's books, and has appeared on hundreds of TV programs, radio shows, and podcasts, and yeah, even on Oprah. I'm not sure if you heard of her. Oprah, maybe? You can actually get Why Bother free on Audible. I have to say, the audiobook is fantastic. Jennifer's got that cool raspy voice, so it was really fun to listen to. Get a free trial of Audible that includes 1 credit, good for any premium selection titles that you like, yours to keep. You get 2 credits, actually, for 2 books if you're a Prime member. The Audible Plus catalog, also of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. You can listen to those all you want, no credits needed. And my favorite thing is that they send out an email before your trial is over, so you don't get caught going, oh, I meant to cancel that, and I didn't get a chance to. No, don't worry about it. They'll let you know. That is so key for someone like me who always forgets to cancel those free trials. But you probably won't want to because Audible's awesome. The way to get that free trial is audibletrial.com/40. That's audibletrial.com/40. That's it. All of it. Free for a month. All right, enough yapping. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Jennifer Loudon. Jennifer, welcome to 40 Thrive.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here and get to connect with you.
First of all, congratulations on all of the books. And most recently, I love the name of your new book, Why Bother?
Thank you.
Because I think if you're a woman over 40 and you haven't actually used those words, then you're lying.
You know, it's interesting. I think the most common reaction is I've underlined so much, I might as well just underline the whole book.
Right.
But the other reaction I get is I had to put it down because it freaks people out to ask the question. Some people aren't ready to ask the question. I've had people say, no, I got it. I got started. I got so freaked out, especially during this pandemic bizarreness. And now I've gone back to it because I'm ready. So I think there's something self-protective sometimes in us about going, I just can't go there yet.
And I love that you said that because sometimes it's okay.
Oh, sometimes it's essential.
Exactly. Like this may not be the season for you to bother.
I was talking to a girlfriend right when it came out. She asked if she could read it and we run together. And at first she was blah, 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 about the book and no one hardly had read it yet. So I was so excited. And
yeah.
She stopped talking about it. And I was like, oh my God, does she mean it? And finally she fessed. She said, Keith, her husband, also a friend, is reading it and loving it, but I had to quit because I don't want to ask the question. You know, it turned out that it worked out for her. She didn't want to ask the question about work. And it turned out that she finally got a job within the large corporation she works that she thinks is going to be a lot better and she's excited about, right?
Right.
You know, at some point we do have to say, how long am I not going to ask? And is that going to be okay for the long term?
Right. So I want to get into all of this, but I want to go back. Take me back. Take my listener back to the first time you can remember. There had to be a catalyst for this book where you were in the moment and you thought, why bother?
Oh, there was so many catalysts for this book. I've been trying to write this book for 11 years.
Wow.
So I wrote a book every year or two for a long time. Then I had another few years where I wasn't sure what I wanted to write. And then this long period. Honestly, this book came because I wrote a book that didn't work. I spent 4 years and 500 pages trying to write a memoir that failed. utterly as a work of literature, but it gave me priceless, and I am not exaggerating, lessons about how I would come to these transition moments in life and choke because I wasn't willing to really sit in finding the desire again. And I would go for what was familiar or what was good enough, or I'd jigger things a little bit. But I really wouldn't go all the way through. And there's nothing wrong with this. We all do it. But what I discovered in writing that memoir and looking back at this whole pattern, which I'd probably done this, you know, 6-7 times in my life, was that I wouldn't hang out in the unknown and find desire again and really commit to what I wanted next. And so it was out of that that this book came, and I went, oh my God, I see this pattern. I see this pattern that I did. Right. Wow, I never want to do that again. Okay, be careful what you wish for. Then I'm like, I have to write about this, right? It was so clear. It was right there laid out in front of me.
Right. That's such a great example. I mean, you're an author. That's part of your identity. It's your work. It's your life's work, right?
Yes.
And so to do something, especially a memoir that is so deeply personal, and for it to not be what maybe you imagined it to be.
Oh, it was terrible. No, it was beautifully written. I'm a really good writer, but it, structurally, I totally messed it up, which is hysterical because part of my business is working with writers.
Well, but if you don't make the mistakes, how can you actually teach them to avoid them?
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm just going to remember that. I'm going to so remember that, Jackie. Oh, man, I'm going to get that tattooed.
But it's totally true because I teach podcasting and I've made many, many mistakes. And like,
you're totally right.
I can help you avoid them. And just like you can help authors avoid what you did. So, but what prevented you from just going, okay, I suck. I'm not going to write ever again. Because you know that it could have gone there.
Oh, yeah. I think my essential nature is determined. We could flip that way around and call it stubborn.
Whatever. And depending potato, on
what,
mood,
what day it is, you could ask my husband. Sometimes he'll say determined, sometimes he'll say stubborn. Let me tell you the whole story. So the memoir failed, and then I rewrote, I tried to turn it into something else, what we might call a thematic memoir called Lessons the Self-Help Guru Had to Teach Yourself. I wrote the book proposal for that. My agent turned it down. Her entire agency turned it down. I said, forget it. No worries. I don't care. I'm still going to write it. I worked on it for 2 more months. That book fell apart. And I realized, oh no, they're right. This isn't working. This is kind of shallow and a friable idea. It doesn't have that depth. And it was out of that that this book came. So I think this is what I know. This is what I know. What I learned from looking back in that memoir and all the times that I didn't go through deep into my desire, I had gone deep into my desire and I had to write this book. So it propelled me forward. It really did. I'm not exaggerating. When my agent turned everything down, I went for a run. I probably looked like an idiot. I was running on the path going, nobody will dim my shine. Nobody's going to tell me what I can. I mean, I was talking out loud. My daughter used to say this from a Lady Gaga song in high school. Nobody's going to dim my shine.
That's funny. Maybe you inspire people on that running path too. They're like, oh,
to be like, get away from her.
Yeah. That, maybe that too.
That's just crazy.
Okay. So you're in this space and we ask ourselves questions all the time. This book is getting some real response, hitting a nerve with a lot of people who are, I think we're in a place where we're ready to ask the question. As a writer, how do you know that it will resonate with other people?
Well, if I was doing what I tell my clients to do, I would have done some research and I would have like written some, I write usually a newsletter bloggy thing every week. You know, I would have written some about it. I would have tested it out, but Jen didn't do that. Jen just went, that's it. It's the question, why bother? Because it's both sides, right? It's a question of, well, no, I don't want to bother about that. I don't want to bother to put pants on. Why should I put pants on? Why should I wear a bra, right? Pandemic joke there. I actually don't want to bother about this relationship anymore, or I don't really want to bother about staying in this job, or I do want to bother, right? So it's so rich. And I love questions like that. I love questions that really make you discern. They're not about the right answer, because that's what we're all fighting, don't you think? Especially women, we're fighting like, let me get it right. Let me be good. Let me be done. Let me finish it. And that's not what life is.
Right. And so you wrote this book with basically a 6-step process for people to figure out whether they want to bother or not. Can you dive into that a little bit?
Sure. And it was interesting. I came up with that process just very automatically and naturally. And in the idea is not, y'all, that it's like, okay, and then you do this and then you do that. But just to give you a framework for where are you at, these stages might overlap each other, et cetera. But the first one really is to leave behind. And this is what kept me stuck in my longest and darkest why bother period, because I wouldn't leave behind the mistakes I made. The end of my first marriage, not being with my father when he died, ways that I handled falling in love with my now husband and blending our families together. Those things were in the past, and I was still beating myself up for them. So if we continue to replay the past, we will stick to the bad side, the grubby side, I call it, of why bother. So that's essential. Now, I don't mean you like magically, oh, I'll never have that feeling again. But you begin to realize what you're doing to yourself. Self-cruelty and pretending that you could do the past differently than you did will keep you stuck more than anything.
I got to tell you right now that if you only said that on this podcast, I could just end it right here and that's enough. That message is so important because we're all over 40. You know, I'm almost 50. Plenty of people who listen who are
young.
I'm a baby.
You're a baby.
But, you know, I get lots of feedback from women in their 60s and it's really just a frame of mind, really. But we all have baggage. We all have a history. We've all made choices. Some of them we're proud of, some of them not so much. Some of them we would do over if we could. But I love the fact that you're pointing out if we continue to play that same record, right? That same 45. See, I can make those references at 45 over and over in your head, you're never going to get to where you need to be.
You're giving up on the future you and the present you because the past you isn't who you think she should be.
Oh, I want you to say that again.
You're giving up on the future you and the present you because the past you isn't who you think she should be. The other thing you're doing, because I know, is you are replaying and rewriting the past through the eyes of who you are now.
Yes.
And you do it automatically. You don't even know you do it. I mean, yes. I've been coaching a client about this, and I have to like hold her over and over again to these minute moments when she replays a choice that she made from what she knows now. And I keep having to say, did you know that then? You know that now. Did you know that then? And she'll get it and then she'll forget it, right?
Right.
And this is what keeps us from going, what's here now? And what's here now may not be the same that you want. If your partner has died, if your child is in rehab again, you've lost your job or your business has cratered because of the pandemic. These are painful things. We're not saying they're not painful, but are we going to leave behind enough that we can have now and that we can start to bother about what can be fresh here now?
Right. It's so true. And even our memories, our memories are based on who we are now when we look back, right? So it's not necessarily an accurate memory.
Never. Your memory is completely inaccurate. Why do you think you get together with your family and you say, blah, 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 blah happened? And they're like, are you crazy? That didn't happen. They're like, no, I totally remember. And they're like, no, this is what happened.
Right. And it's from the perspective where you are now, as far as when you look back. So it's, you know.
And also how our brains work and how memory is just very, very faulty.
Yeah.
Our brains. That's leave behind. And then the next one is ease in. Because one of the things I notice is when we're really deep in why bother, and a lot of us are right now because of the pandemic, we start to get a little bit of momentum. And then we're afraid we're going to fall right back into listlessness and boredom and blahness and depression even. And so we need to give ourselves little tiny things that kind of get a little sense of joy and life and purpose moving again. And one of those things in the ease in chapter is asking yourself, I wonder. And I say that wonder opens the door to desire. I wonder what it would be like if I did want to get out of bed this morning. I wonder what it would be like if I did want to try dating again. I wonder what it would be like if I did feel brave enough to contact former clients about business again. Just I wonder what it would be like to go to the park and read my book instead of stay in the house and hide, right? Just beginning to kind of, you don't have to act on it, but so easing into taking some joy in life again.
I love that because, you know, there's so much personal development out there that's just like, go to the park, do the thing, you know, and some people, the response is to hide even further because
sure. It is for
they're
me.
Like, that's too much. So I love that you're saying ease in.
Yeah. Also, if you tell me what to do, I'm going to do the opposite.
Seriously.
I'm such a rebel.
I was just talking about that this morning at my workout class, oppositional defiance disorder. I have 10 older siblings.
Oh my gosh.
I was programmed to like, all these people telling me what to do, like, oh no,
you don't tell me. Don't tell me. You can suggest it. Yeah. So yes, I wonder. So ease in. There's some other ideas in there, self-compassionate grit and this combination of being very kind to ourselves at the same time that we're gritty. And
that's all in the ease in
chapter, right?
Chapter.
And then, yeah.
And then where do we go?
Then we settle down. Again, a deeply learned lesson in my life when I was in that longest of my why bother periods is I would start to move towards recreating myself and figure out what I really wanted. And then I would distract myself. And at the time, my mom was falling into Alzheimer's. So it was really easy to fall into being a martyr and running over to do something for her. She lived about a mile away at that point. You know, it's very easy for us. Oh, yes, I'm going to sit with myself. I'm going to settle down. I'm going to just calm my nervous system down. Oh, but wait, did I start dinner? Oh, but wait, oh, my daughter's texting me. I better grab the phone real quick. I mean, what would she think if I didn't text her back right away? Right? So we just start to live this life where we're pinging and responding and scattered.
Yes.
And days and weeks and months can go by and there's no sense of anybody home. And if nobody's home, how are you going to know what you want to bother about?
That's interesting. So settle down.
Settle down. Yeah. It doesn't have to be meditation. It doesn't have to be quiet. It can be whatever way you look,
yeah.
But it has to be not being distracted, pulled, responding
yeah.
every single moment. And then after settle down is the heart of the book. And that is the chapter on desire. And desire is a weird word. It freaks people out. They think it's about sex. It could be about sex.
Yeah, I was like, sometimes it is.
Yeah, I hope sometimes it is for everybody. But mostly to me, it is the core of letting life live through us, letting life bring us alive, letting our natural curiosity and desire to experience and connect and express ourselves come alive. And we block it and we judge it and we cut it off and we're taught to judge it and cut it off. So it's beginning to do little experiments and beginning to have a relationship with wanting. And wanting right. is different than clinging mm-hmm. and going, this must go the way that I want. It's much more dynamic and it's not attached to outcome.
Do you have any exercises in the book to kind of help people get back in touch with what they want? Because that's one of the things I hear a lot is yes. I don't even know what I want.
Yes, me too. Very, very common. That's our fear of desire. It's been sort of scared out of us where desires become a commodity. It's something that's sold to us. You know, you should desire this house or this car or this face or this body or this, you know, whatever, jewelry. One of the things, there's a lot of things in the book, but one of the things that I really love is a desire retreat. And so you set aside a period of time, like start small, 2-3 hours, clear beginning, clear end, and no appointments, no commitments, no shoulds. And you just keep asking yourself, what do I want? You may not want anything, but you're going to start to awaken the ability to want. You may start to make toast and go, oh, I don't want the toast. Leave the toast. You can clean it up later. Oh, I really want to take a nap. You lay in bed. Oh, I can't go to sleep. I don't want to take a nap. I really want to paint. Oh my God, I don't want to paint. I won't be able to do it. Well, let's just like follow the desire to get the paints out and see. So that's a really powerful practice. It's very simple and it can really awaken desire in a wonderful way.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And 2-3 hours, I think we can all basically carve that out if, you know, versus like you say retreat and I see myself in Bali, you know?
Yeah. Well, that would be nice too.
Let's start with 2-3 hours, you know, not making the toast. So yeah. What happens after we have now discovered our desire, we know what we want, what do we do?
Well, then the big thing that I say is what we don't want to do is make a plan because we're still in this waking up our bother and waking up this relationship with desire. So what we tend to do at this point is make a big, scary plan. And that plan usually at this point is going to be too small for who you are becoming, right? It's a safety. Mm. It's a going backwards into what I call your emotional immune system. So the next step is become by doing. It's doing little experiments. It's trying things. It's trying things that expand your emotional immune system so that you're more capable and more confident to do the things that maybe you really want to do, but you still aren't sure are possible. And then our last stage is be seen. And as I always say, it's the shortest chapter in the book because it's the hardest thing for me, believe it or not, which is funny after 30 years in writing and speaking and teaching. But it's really to let yourself be seen by a person or people that you feel safe in who you're becoming. Mm-hmm. And desire, you know, whether it's saying to a dear friend, I'm trying to write a novel. Right. And letting someone else see that, or letting someone see you in your vulnerability. Yeah. It's a very important way that we can go back into why bother without realizing it by hiding our desires and our process from other people.
Right. And it's similar to my whole thing, which is find your voice. I mean, find your voice and being seen, like it's just different words of the same, you know, but now's the time and be seen and be heard in a way that works for you. So for some people, it's like go run for a political office. But mm-hmm. for some people, it's just share what you actually want for dinner from Friday night takeout.
Brilliantly said. Exactly. And, you know. And one of the things that I see people getting caught at this be seen stage is that it has to be somehow big or public.
Yes.
And that is just, that's going to take you back into why bother too. It's got to fit you. And if it's speaking up for your preferences in a relationship, having a difficult conversation with your mother, sharing with your sister, you know, how much you really want to learn about origami, you know?
Yeah. But just owning, I mean, it goes back to the desires, right? Now you've discovered what you truly want, owning that and being yes. comfortable with that, even if the people around you aren't necessarily on board.
Especially, and even if those desires change. Because here's the thing about this little moment of getting your bother on that I've tried to elucidate in the book that I think we've been missing and talk about transitions is we think that once we desire something, it's got to become our thing.
Yes.
It doesn't. It's got to feed the life that you want. That's what we're trying to rediscover when we're in Why Bother. What's going to feed me and give me the energy and the gumption if I do want to make big changes? And maybe I don't. Maybe I'm like, wow, I actually am okay with the relationship. I'm okay with the job. But now I realize I really want to bother in my garden, or I really want to bother getting out the vote, for example.
Right, right. Yeah. Absolutely. I have my theories, but why do you think when we do find something that we desire, that we want in our lives, that we then assume that we have to want that for the next 20 years?
It's certainty. Our brains like certainty. That's one of the reasons why this time in history is so difficult for us, because we have no idea when it's going to end or how it's going to end. And we're not built for that long term. We've been prey, you know, in addition to being predators, we've been prey. And so in our bodies is that memory in our brains. And so we're like, I want this, so let me make it into a thing I can count on. And it's also part of how we work, like our sense of identity. Like we're always trying to make an identity that we can hold on to, even though we really don't have a self, probably. It's just a story we tell ourselves. So it's just a function of how we've evolved.
Yeah. I also think it's how we've been programmed. So like when we were younger and it was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was mm-hmm. just the one thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I used to joke, like, it was like that sliding down the dinosaur and the Flintstones, right? Like punching the card. And that's what you do for 40 years. And then you have maybe a pension or whatever it is. And you retire. And it was all mapped out for, I think, the kids of the 60s, 70s, 80s. And now life does not work like that anymore. It's the uncertainty where we can find what truly lights us up.
I think you're totally right. And I also think another reason is that we're very programmed in this time. And like, we're all made of culture. Like our personalities are 93 to 98% culturally determined. So this is very much a Western phenomena. And the Western phenomena is productivity. So desire for desire's sake, like for me to go down in my basement and play in my art studio and then not be able to sell it. you know, or give it away. You know, just be like, well, you know, I really don't care if anybody ever sees that. In fact, I hope nobody ever sees it. But boy, it was fun making it, right? That really goes against, you know, everything needs to be making us better and faster and stronger and richer and prettier.
How do you not have an Etsy store for that painting?
Exactly. You have to sell it. I remember there's a story in the book when my daughter loved to sing and she has a beautiful voice. And a friend's like, oh my God, she has to have voice lessons and you have to do something with that. I'm like, ew, get away. She's singing. She's a kid. She's singing. Let her sing. If she wants voice lessons, I'll get her voice lessons. But
yeah, I'm guilty. I am guilty of that, I will say. Like, I see a gift in somebody, whether it's one of my kids or a friend or someone in the 40 Thrive community, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you could totally monetize that. And like, I'm just like, you know?
I have that brain too. There's a lot of gift in that. I mean, I've obviously monetized my gifts, but there's also a danger.
But we have so many gifts. Mm-hmm. Some of them, go ahead and monetize them. But some of them are just for us.
And some of them are hobbies. Remember hobbies?
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to make it your profession. Yeah. So it's great if we can encourage people to go and think about something, whether it's painting or singing or just something that makes you feel happy, that you don't have to put any pressure on yourself to take it to some other level. Is key. So if you're listening to this right now and you are at a stage where you're like, I'm ready to make some changes and really understand myself, 100% get this book. If you're not yet there, 100% get this book anyway.
Because I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think that it's one of those things where you may have to take it in nuggets and little pieces and then reflect on it. It's not necessarily a start today and finish by next Sunday.
No, in fact, that feeling or that expectation is probably going to keep you stuck.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to tell people in the book. And that's what I'm trying to tell everybody listening right now is when you're in that time of, I don't know, I don't have energy. I don't know what I care about. I don't know what I desire. Your job is not to make the plan. Your job is to rediscover the desire.
I love that.
It's not that difficult if you'll keep letting go of this cultural pressure story that you have to figure out the big plan or otherwise you're not good enough.
Right.
Right. There's nowhere to get to. Right now, the place to get to is loving your life again.
Yeah. And this is the perfect time for it because a lot of people are working from home. They're not commuting, whatever your circumstances are. It's a great time for self-reflection and just to sit in it for a little bit and not have to do something. It really resonates with me because I am a doer and I'm at a place like getting closer to 50 that I don't necessarily have to accomplish for me to be valuable.
Mm.
And when I say that, I just mean you listening do not have to be accomplishing to have value in this world.
I also think that one of the stories that I'm hearing about the book for women in our 40s and 50s and 60s is that we have accomplished. Mm. And now we're like, there is something more. There's a lot more left in me, but it's got to be really connected to what I care about and value yes. and desire, but I don't know what that is. And I can't keep doing what I've done, or I certainly can, but it's not filling me up anymore.
Right.
And I think the opportunity, but also the danger is, do we let ourselves be in this liminal space and really believe that there is a more and that we can find it, but that we may have to let go of some of what has been, how we have defined ourselves.
Absolutely. I really appreciate your coming on. I think that the book is for everyone. I am going to have it on my nightstand soon. I was lucky enough to read it on my computer, but it's one of those books that you need for the highlighter.
You know? And people have been sending me pictures of all their flags and highlights and notes that they've written to themselves. It's very sweet. I like that.
Yeah, it's awesome. And my favorite part of all of this is the fact that it was something that you believed you quote unquote failed that led to it. So if you're listening and you are in that space where maybe you feel like you failed, there's something else.
There is if we let it. There really is if we let it and we stop and we keep dropping our expectations of what it has to look like. I believe that too.
Yeah. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you so very much for listening. If you like this episode, please consider sharing with a friend. You know the one. She could really use more gratitude in her life right now. And until next time, take care and keep thriving. Spring has sprung, and with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Coconut? Coconut is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments, with or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconut. That's 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconut.